Well, here in a little bit, we are going to invite Deirdre up and hear some Yay God testimony from her about what God is doing in her life and ministry there in Jamaica and the lives of her brothers and sisters there in Jamaica. But I do have a short sermon first that I want to share with you this morning in light of it being the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. And so along that lines, you know, one of the things that hopefully you would always hear highlighted with our worship services is the Word of God. You know, that's one of the reasons why we gave out 181 New Testaments, you know, and my prayer really above almost anything else with the outreach was just that the people who receive those will read those, you know, that they will open it, because I know what the Word of God has done in my life, and I know what it's done, you know, in many of your lives, and what it can do for these kids and grown-ups who got those. So I'm just so excited for that. But the Word of God is also one of the things that binds us together as the body worldwide. You know, it is such a precious need and precious gift to have the Word of God in your own language, wherever that is and whatever that language is. And a lot of believers in the world put themselves in very serious risk in order to have the Word of God. There are places where if it is found out that you have the Word of God, you can be imprisoned or beaten, even killed. So, you know, one of the things that, the reason for the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians, there's a few things. One is that we would join together worldwide. I mean, this, the world wants to come together globally in a way that is not God-honoring. I'm not going to go there, but God has a plan to bring everything under the authority of Christ and everything united under the reign of Christ. And so, but before that, even today, there is a worldwide family. In all these different, you know, I don't know how many thousand languages or hundreds of languages and cultures and ethnicities and of the body of Christ, of believers. And one of the things that unites us, well, there's a few, but I mean, we all, of course, have the Holy Spirit. Some of us are fortunate enough to have our own copies of the Bible. But part of it, too, is prayer. And so that's why the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. This is a way for us worldwide, for not just locally, but all over the planet, to demonstrate the unity that only Jesus can give. There's all kinds of imitation counterfeits of that that people want to try to usher in, but there's only one true unity of hearts and souls and spirits, and that's in Christ Jesus. So we need to not only join together as we do worshipfully, but prayerfully. And so we want to lift up, and we'll do this in a little while, have a time of prayer, of prayer for believers who are really a testimony for Jesus in places where it's very difficult to give a testimony for Jesus. But this morning, if you turn to the book of Habakkuk, we're going to just take a very quick flyover. In Habakkuk, we've been for the last 7 weeks, if you've been here, we've been in Ruth, and that's a very short book of the Bible. It's just four chapters, and Habakkuk even shorter still. But I'm just going to share a few verses from Habakkuk 1, a few verses from Habakkuk 2, a few verses from Habakkuk 3, very quickly as we move along today. But let me pray for us before we do that. But go ahead and find that book, and we'll begin in a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that because we are so blessed to have your Holy Spirit indwelling us and guiding us and teaching us, and we are so, so blessed, Father, to have your word and to be disciples of Jesus, God. We thank you, Lord, that no matter who we are, no matter where we come from, no matter what our circumstances, that your word speaks to us. Even to those who are in terrible circumstances this morning, from a fleshly perspective, God, those who are suffering today. God, I pray that you would inspire us through your word to see that, along with your church across the world, whatever our circumstances are today in our relationships or our workplace, in our neighborhoods, maybe just our hurts and hang-ups that we haven't healed of yet, no matter what our circumstance, God, you have something to say today through your word that encourages us and guides us, Lord. So, Lord, we do pray that you would give us a desire, a hunger to live out the righteousness that you have imputed to us in Christ, knowing that as we embrace that, We will suffer persecution for that. Lord, we thank you that you give us your provision, Lord, that we're able to walk by faith, that we are able to know your presence and your glory and your goodness in our lives, God, and that we can worship you joyfully every day of our lives, no matter what we're going through. God, we pray for your glory, that it would be so in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start out this morning, if you'd like to turn to Habakkuk 1, verses 5 and 6. And this is really to set kind of the foundation for what we're going to look at. So we'll just go over this very, very briefly. Habakkuk 1, verses 5 and 6. The Lord replied, "Look among the nations, see, be astonished, wonder, for I am doing something in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans who rule in Babylon, that fierce and impetuous nation who march throughout the earth." So just a bit of background here if you're not familiar. Habakkuk, the prophet, is prophesying, and the southern kingdom of Judah is about to experience an invasion by the Babylonians. It's imminent. And the Babylonians are a horrifically violent and wicked people. Unfortunately, though, in this time in the history of God's people, they also are in sin, and there's a lot of wickedness there as well. And the prophet's wrestling with this, that God would bring people who are wicked, and that in his estimation are even more wicked than the people in Judah, in order to bring correction. So he's struggling with some of this. And at the end of the book, Habakkuk confesses his confidence in God, that God is good, and that the will of God, even though there's certain catastrophe that's coming that God's telling them about, there's going to be for the good of the people in some way because God is good. So this morning, as we go through this short book, I want us to see a few principles here, a few things that we can rely on no matter what your environment, no matter what your circumstances. And these are things that our brothers and sisters, as they are experiencing persecution and hatred from people who are very wicked and who hate Christ and his church, that they are leaning on today, and that you and I can lean into some biblical principles. So as we go further into Habakkuk, though, we have a short video to share with you. This is about a woman named Rebecca who lives in Nigeria, and this is about 6 minutes, but I'd like to go ahead and share this with you first.
My name is Rebecca. I live in the north of Nigeria. One evening I was out with my daughter, and on our way home we saw smoke rising above our village. We were under attack. There was nothing we could do to defend ourselves. I were married in that village. My wedding day, it was the happiest day of my life. Some members of our church gave us a wedding gift. It was a Bible. We read it together every day. Children were old enough, we read it to them and their friends.
Let the little children come to me.
Let the little children come to me.
And do not forbid them.
And do not forbid them.
For such is the kingdom of heaven.
Such is the kingdom of heaven.
Matthew chapter 19.
Verse 14.
the day our village burnt to the ground, my husband and my son were killed in the attack. I was devastated. I mourned for many months. Some of us were able to return to our village to reclaim anything that was left. Genesis and Revelation were burnt, but the rest was mostly intact. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All flesh is like grass, and all is glory like a white flower. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Still use this Bible. It reminds me of God's faithfulness. Naked I came from my mother's womb, but naked I shall return there. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is a husband to all widows. I look to him for every need. This is what I am still holding on to.
To share that with you this morning, because I think Rebecca's a wonderful example of how believers, when they encounter those who oppose Christ, can respond in such a beautiful way to people who hate the gospel and are opposed to us. In her story, in Rebecca's story, we really see a modern-day representation of what Habakkuk is addressing as well here in the book, as persecution's coming upon them. And pointing our hearts to how we respond in our lives as we have people that give us pushback in the workplace, or maybe even in our families, people who don't know Christ yet, or maybe just in difficult circumstances. So the first principle today, in difficult times, because God is faithful, in difficult times we can have faith. In challenging circumstances, in difficult circumstances, we can respond with faith because God is faithful. If you turn to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The word of God says, "Look at the proud one, His soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith in the true God. The Amplified Version adds, we experience victory. We experience victory in our life, no matter what the situation is, as we walk out the righteousness that's imputed to us in Christ Jesus, no matter what the situation. There's a contrast there of the proud one, the one who's self-dependent, a person who has an inflated estimation of themselves, that has pride in their heart. And when your thoughts and your heart are so full of self, it's hard to hear from God. It's hard to be led by the Lord, but there is an absolute difference between walking by faith and walking in your flesh. And part of that profound difference is that our trust is in the Lord, and the righteousness that we have, and that what separates us from those who don't know Christ is not of ourselves. It's faith in Christ. It's something. It's a gift from Him. We know the righteousness of Christ only through His atoning sacrifice, only through His grace. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Word of God says, God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. In Romans 3:21 and 22, the Word of God says, now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. You know, the Bible says that for those who are redeemed, for those who are born again, that we have this growing hunger and thirst for righteousness within us, even as we receive this gift, and that for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, they will be satisfied. Those who desire that righteousness will be satisfied. In 1 and 2 Timothy, both Paul instructing Timothy, he tells him, pursue righteousness in your life. Pursue righteousness. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught to seek first the kingdom of God above all other things and His righteousness. And that if we will do that, that God will meet every need. He'll provide everything else as well. Biblical disciples, as we walk out this life in Christ, are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We're persecuted because of living out the righteousness that's a gift to us, by displaying that to the world, and the world hating to see the righteousness of Christ in our lives, and yet we're not forsaken. We're not forsaken, no matter what the opposition or the persecution. In Matthew 5:10, the Word of God tells us, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Peter tells us in 1 Peter, even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. You are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation. Do not be troubled. And again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So as we receive this gift of salvation, and part of that being the righteousness of Christ, and the world finding offense in that, we will suffer persecution. But as that happens, God has given us everything we need, His presence to live out a godly life. The Word tells us there in Habakkuk, we shall live by faith. The righteous will live by his faith. Shall live by faith. The Chaldeans, they were a tribe there in Babylon. They were the dominant tribe that ruled there out of the southern part of Babylon. And they were known for their ruthlessness. And they were coming, the Word of God says here in Habakkuk, to bring judgment, to bring calamity, destruction upon the people. And even in the attack and the brutality of that, God, for those who were faithful and clinging to Him and trusting in Him, they would bear out a testimony of God's goodness. We live by faith, shall live by faith. Our faith, as we deal with problems in our lives, our faith is not in our sufficiency or our maturity or our biblical knowledge. Our faith is always in Jesus Christ. Our trust is in Him. And it's not simply a theory or a philosophy. You know, sometimes it's easy to kind of isolate that, but it's lived out practically in our daily lives, this trust in Jesus. We live by faith in good times, on good days. We live by faith in Christ in the bad days. We live by faith as we experience receiving the blessings of God. We live by faith as we endure hardship. Some of it that we find unexpected or overwhelming, but we live by faith no matter what the cost is, no matter what happens, just like we saw in that testimony there from Rebecca. A second principle this morning for believers in difficult circumstances, hope. Hope in difficult circumstances, hope. If you'd skip down there in Habakkuk chapter 2 to verse 14. But the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the glory of the knowledge of God as the earth, as the waters cover the sea. It's a promise. It's a certainty. God's saying, this is going to happen. I will make this happen. And that's a promise that should give us hope, the knowledge of that, that no matter what is going on, God is going to bring this about. In the Hebrew here, the word for knowledge is yada, and it's a reference to more than information. It's talking about experience. It's talking about an experience of the presence of God, the knowledge of God experientially happening. And God is saying, I will fill, as my people, as the gospel goes forth and my people fill the earth, I will spread this experience of my presence and knowing me and glorifying me and walking in my righteousness and trusting in me. God's saying that as we trust in Him, and we have this right relationship with Him, that He makes Himself known to us, the knowledge of the glory of God. Glory here, the word is kabod in the Hebrew, and it's a technical term. It means the manifest presence of the Lord. That's a promise from God, the manifest presence of the Lord, and it involves His power, it involves His majesty, it involves His honor. But His presence reveals His glory, and it reveals His character, and the glory of God experiencing Him and knowing Him involves His goodness. Even when nothing around us is good, even when we're in a situation where you think, how could this get any worse? Everything is crumbling and things are so difficult, and no matter what that may be, we can experience the goodness of God in His presence. Psalm 100 tells us, shout for joy for the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God's given us this promise that no matter what we experience on earth until He takes us home to be with Him, that we will know His presence. He is filling the earth. He's filling His church. He's filling His people with an experience, a knowledge, a real knowledge of God that glorifies Him. And there is coming a day when that knowledge and that experience of God will fill the entire earth. And no matter what opposition you experience, or your loved ones experience, or our brothers and sisters experience in Sudan, or Iraq, or China, or Jamaica, or America, or any, no matter what is going to, God is saying, I am going to make this happen. Hold on to that. Know it's coming. There's nothing the enemy can do to stop this. That the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God. And we can hold on to that promise and give us hope. Our third principle this morning, if you turn to Habakkuk 3, verse 17. In difficult circumstances, joy. In difficult circumstances, joy. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no cattle in the stalls, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like the hinds or the deer's feet. He makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. Now, all these circumstances mentioned there in verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not blossom, there's no fruit of the vines. Though the yield of the olive fails, there's no produce of the food. The flock is cut off from the fold. The cattle's are not in the stalls. They're all a result here in Habakkuk of this devastation coming from the Babylonian invasion. That they're coming and there's going to be a lot of suffering among the people there in Judah. And that devastation, nobody could escape that. There was nowhere to go to get away from it. Every aspect of their life was going to be touched. The fig tree was their staple food. And it was symbolic of wealth and prosperity. And God was saying, I'm going to allow through the Babylonians a stripping away of all of your wealth and prosperity that you've been trusting in. I'm going to wreck your economy, God was saying. Your stock market's going to nosedive. Your 401k is going to be wiped out. The fruit of the vine. Wine for the feast. Symbolic of joy. God saying, I'm going to take your joy away. I'm removing your wealth. I'm going to take your joy, your celebrations away. The olive oil, used for anointing in the temples and used for lamps, used for medicinal purposes, symbolic of God's blessing. God saying, I'm taking that away from you. I'm removing it through the Babylonians. The fields produce no food. Most likely a reference to the grain that they used for the bread, and it was a symbol of God's provision, like the manna in the wilderness, and God saying, I'm stripping that away. You can't trust in that. The flock cut off from the fold. You know, if an animal's cut off from the herd, they're vulnerable to attack. God's saying, I'm going to make you vulnerable. Your armies are not going to be able to protect you. I'm stripping that away. You can't trust in that. No cattle's in the stalls, no meat for you to consume. Terribly difficult times in every aspect of their lives. And then verse 18, yet. Habakkuk moves from describing, he's saying, listen, you are going to experience terribly difficult circumstances. It's going to be tough for you. There's no escaping it. But there's this declaration of joy from the prophet. He's saying, listen, even though that misery and desperation are coming, you can have joy. You can have joy, and that can be our response as we trust in the Lord no matter what we experience as believers, that we can face them as disciples of Christ and say, I'll rejoice anyway. Even though I don't like that circumstance, even though it's terrible, even though my heart is breaking because of that, I will still rejoice in the Lord. And it's an amazing declaration here from Habakkuk in the face of this judgment. And I love this because it's not the power of positive thinking, right? It's not some self-help thing. It's not mind over matter. He's not saying I'm going to name it and claim it and declare joy and all these bad things aren't going to happen. God says, no, I am bringing calamity. It's going to be difficult, but you can rejoice anyway. Because God is working through Habakkuk's mind and his heart, and he's saying, listen, because of who I am to you, you're not dependent on the circumstances to have joy. You have me. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You can rejoice. I read a quote that I thought was wonderful, and I don't know who the source was, but I want to share this with you. Joy is the flag that is flown from the citadel of the heart when the king is in residence. Joy is the flag that is flown from the citadel, the fortress of the heart, when the king is in residence. Joy is a fruit of the presence of God in our lives, no matter what our circumstances are, regardless of what you face. And I don't mean to say that flippantly, because I know sometimes it's easier just to say that and be disengaged with hearts. I know that, you know, we experience things that we can't be happy with, that are breaking of our hearts, but we can still have this joy that is a strength because of our trust being anchored in God and not in our circumstances. Habakkuk said, listen, I can choose, even though everything in this culture is falling apart, I can choose to fly the flag of joy because of who God is to me. No matter what. And God says you can have that. You can have that joy in your life because you are anchored in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 3 and verse 16, the Word of God says, I pray out of His glorious riches that He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. That's what that joy is. That is a strengthening in your inner spirit by the Holy Spirit that allows you, no matter what the experience that you're going through, to experience joy and worship and trust in the Lord. You know, this morning as we gather together to pray and to hear the Word of God and to have fellowship and to worship, all over the world, believers are doing this. You know, some are in living rooms, some are in buildings like this, some are probably in fields, some are alone in jail cells. I mean, just all over the world, there are believers that are pausing to look to the Lord and just to worship Him. And no matter where we are, and no matter what any of us are experiencing, our brothers and sisters all over this planet, no matter what that may be, because of who God is and His presence, as we worship Him, we can experience joy. No matter how difficult the circumstances. Fox's Book of the Martyrs, if you've ever read that book, a wonderful tale of the faithfulness of God in the lives of believers under persecution. And again, you read testimonies of non-believers saying, we don't understand these Christians. We beat them and we take things away from them and we hurt them and they still have this joy. And God says, you all have that. No matter what the situation, He will strengthen you through the Holy Spirit in your inner being as you trust in Him. And we can have that joy today. You know, all over the world, the church is continuing to grow. I still hear wonderful stories coming out of China, coming out of Iran, places where there is pushback for being the church, and yet the church is flourishing as the gospel is shared. Even North Korea, I've read some stories of people coming to Christ. They're all over the world, including Jamaica, including here in Indian Heights. God is using His Word. He's using the gospel message, and He's bringing people to salvation. This morning, I wanted to cut the sermon short, and I deliberately kept out illustrations because I want our illustration to be Deirdre. So we're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to interview Deirdre. I'm going to ask her a few questions, and I'll go ahead and invite Deirdre to come up. And I want to give her a chance just to share what God is doing in her life, and particularly, you know, as we've highlighted the Word of God today, I'm going to ask a few questions really focusing on the Word of God in her life and our brothers and sisters in Jamaica. But I want to invite Deirdre to come on up, and I'll move this out of the way. We're going to bring some chairs out. We're just going to kind of chill and have a conversation and invite you guys into that as well, just to share. So this last week, I got experience moving furniture. Our youngest son, Jesse, moving out of state. The week before, I got to move furniture with Cole and Elise, our oldest, for 2 days. So I'm totally trained and ready to do this. And this is way lighter than the couch that I moved a couple days ago. So what's that? The recliner was pretty heavy. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, if you need any evidence that I'm a goofball, ask my wife about me moving the recliner. Oh, yeah, Deirdre, if you'd like to come on up. Oh no, wherever you're comfortable. So Kim and I have had the blessing of knowing Deirdre for, is it 7 years? We're trying to figure it out. You guys know I'm horrible with time. we met Deirdre in Northern Ireland. Kim and I were there for the Way weekends for a couple of those and got to meet Deirdre. And then when she went into the mission field in Jamaica, we had some conversations and got to tell us your heart and how God was drawing you there. And so I just want to give you a chance to share with us today You know, we watched that video of our sister in Christ there in Nigeria and what she experienced and how precious the Word of God is to her still and God's faithfulness, even though she was attacked and went through difficulty. Her Bible was singed, but that touched my heart when she's praising God for His faithfulness and finding that Bible. So, you know, we know that the Word of God, it's so essential for our growth. It's so powerful in our lives. And I know that you love the Word. I know that that's central to your ministry, sharing the Word with other folks there in Jamaica. One of the things that God's Word says is that the Word of God stands forever. In Isaiah 40, verses 6 through 8, the Word of God says, "A voice says, 'Cry out.' And I said, 'What shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever.'" So, Deirdre, I just want to ask you this morning, how does knowing that the word of God stand forever inspire you, encourage you? How does that affect your ministry in Jamaica? Actually, can we have a mic? I think, yeah, we've got it. I'm sorry. Thank you. And I even put a fresh battery in it for you, and I forgot to bring it up. Yeah, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, James, to answer your question, well, first of all, thank you for having me here today. It's so good to be back. For those who I know and those of you who I don't know so well as yet, it's so good to be here, and here's hope. The word faithfulness in Isaiah 40, verse 6, is a key word. And you've spoke a lot about faith and faithful this morning, and that's no coincidence. But faithful and faithfulness can be used to describe our family and our friends and our colleagues and those who are closest to us. But as mere mortals, we are fickle and we can be unreliable, and our faithfulness towards one another is not consistent. It is necessary for me in Jamaica to have confidence and faith in those that I work with and minister alongside on a daily basis. But it is essential that I remember that God's holy word is eternal and His faithfulness continues through all generations. And He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. And He keeps that promise. He also promises to strengthen and to sustain us. And He gives me energy to prevail through 95 degree heat and humidity on a daily basis. And that is true sustenance for me. He does pour out His mercy and His grace on a daily basis when I call upon His name and when I remain faithful and grounded in His word. And I can rely on pastors and friends for encouragement and advice. And I do and have done on many, many occasions. But my total dependence and trust in the Lord is what has seen me through the darkest, most challenging times on the field in Jamaica. Our faithful God is never early, He's never late, and His mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
We just have to remember that He is only ever a prayer away, that He hears and He answers our prayers as we need and in His perfect timing. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And those words from Hebrews 11 are fundamental in our Christian walk.
Amen. Amen. Well said. We also know that the Word of God is powerful. In Hebrews 4:12, of course, the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. In Psalm 119 and verse 105, we know that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. So how does the power of the Word of God guiding you, how does knowing that help direct your life, help keep you on the good path that God has for you?
God's holy word convinces powerfully, and it converts powerfully, and it also comforts powerfully. It can turn pride to humility, and stubbornness to obedience. And this is especially true for me. And many of you will know that as God initially called me to Jamaica, the three words that he gave me as I wrestled with his call were faith, trust, and obey. And to this day, obey is the hardest one for me. And many of you will know that. Some of my closer friends will know that very well. And two of them are sitting in the congregation. But many times, you know, if I'm faced with a challenge or a difficult situation, I will attempt to solve the problem in my own strength, my way. And I will give advice or try to give advice without pausing to pray over the situation. But I praise God that he never fails to stop me in my tracks, and by his grace that I still hear his still small voice. Yeah. And he guides and directs me. And you know, I want you all to take something away this morning. I want you to realize and to remember that true faith in God brings obedience, and obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. And help me to remember that as well. Amen. We're nothing without God, James. And I repeat, his word is eternal. His word is eternal. As I disciple and counsel in Jamaica, I share how we must hold fast the doctrines of Christian faith in our heads and its principles in our hearts. We have to, we must faithfully profess it with our lips, and we must be subject to it in our lives. Our knowledge of God's word is not useful unless it strengthens our faith and encourages us to share it with others, and unless it leads us and equips us to do good. On the days when I do not purposely read my Bible, and there are days that I don't read my Bible, but I will find myself struggling with decisions, lacking in grace, and very conscious of my disobedience to my Lord and Savior. So as you pray for me or another missionary that you know, please, please remember that we're human. We are far from perfect. We struggle with sin on a constant basis. And we do not profess to be holier or closer to the Lord because we have a title. We have simply answered God's call to go into all the world and to share the gospel. So please remember that as you pray for us.
Amen. Thank you, sister. I appreciate your humility and honesty, and that all applies for pastors as well as missionaries. Thank you. Now, we know from Habakkuk today, what we looked at there in chapter 2, verse 14, that God's word is filling the earth with the knowledge of his glory, and that there's a promise of a time coming of a complete fullness of that. Verse 14 there in Habakkuk 2 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Deirdre, can you have you seen Jamaicans who have a copy of the Bible and read it, how it's helped them be part of that filling of the earth with the knowledge of the glory of God?
Yes, I mean, in many different ways and at different times. And as Christians, we can have confidence in the promise of Habakkuk 2:14, that Jesus will wipe away every tear from our eyes, that he will be praised as Lord and Savior and King by all nations, tribes, people, and languages. Mm-hmm. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. And those Jamaicans who own a Bible and are able to faithfully read it, they consider it a privilege to share God's word and his promises to those who would make a decision to have a personal relationship with Christ. My first experience serving on a way weekend at the CSI Mission House way back in 2017 was so impactful, and it really highlighted the need for application and study Bibles in Jamaica. The importance of discipleship was laid in my heart, and thus I answered the call to go to Jamaica as a missionary. And to see persons realize that the living word of God could be applied to their day-to-day challenges and also applied to their testimonies of God's goodness and mercy, that was truly rewarding, and that just made it so worthwhile and confirmed that my call was exactly what God wanted me to be. During COVID, as churches in Jamaica began to live stream using whatever means possible, so many people heard God's word proclaimed for the first time, both from pastors and from laypersons within Jamaica and across the globe. And the faithfulness of Jamaican pastors has to be commended. Overcoming internet challenges and lack of equipment, facing lockdowns and restricted movement days, all to continue to share sharing the word of God. And this diligence saw many come to faith, many backsliders returned to Christ, mm-hmm. and it also helped to soften hard hearts. People who would never come into a church building watched online services, they listened to conference calls where we prayed and we had services. And we're just so thankful for the perseverance of those pastors that helped to cause the nations to know Jesus. But unfortunately, there is still a great need in Jamaica for actual Bibles. Not that they can't have them or they're going to have them taken away from them. They just do not have Bibles. And any version would be gratefully accepted. They do love the New King James, but there's a lot of NIV and ESV versions being used. And folk who have poor eyesight and lack of optical care, they would benefit greatly from larger print Bibles. And fewer teams coming to CSI Jamaica because of COVID has meant that CSI have fewer resources, such as Bibles. So that's something that I would love you as a church to pray about. Just, James, you know, to make them aware that even if, you know, if they have secondhand Bibles, that we would gratefully accept them in Jamaica. Because so many of them don't own a Bible. Therefore, they cannot fully understand the lasting impact of reading and applying scripture to their daily lives. So if a team of 10 people came and brought 2 Bibles each, 20 lives would be transformed. I mean, in a way that you could never imagine, because they could read and absorb God's word on a daily basis. One blessing that we do have in Jamaica is that schools have devotion times on a regular basis. Some even have devotions every day, and I praise God for that. And the children are taught Bible verses, and that's a foundation for reading and understanding the scriptures. But again, Bibles and resources are greatly needed. I ask that you would remember that you should treasure your Bible, and you should thank the Lord that you can carry it freely and use it daily.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, sister. One of the things that, one of the truths that we know about the Word of God, it is the very Word of God. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, God's Word tells us all scriptures God breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Can you think of an example in the lives of one of our brothers and sisters in Jamaica being impacted by knowing that truth, that when they have a Bible, they have the very Word of God?
There's so many examples, James. But, you know, I had a different story to tell, and the Lord spoke to my heart yesterday afternoon and said that I should share this one. And it's a testimony as well. I mean, it really is. At the beginning of March of this year, there was a young man who came to the altar in an Otto Bay Baptist church. And he had been to church several times, and he'd been to the altar on a couple of occasions, and he had a powerful deliverance during his previous time at the altar. He was going through a period of sick leave from his very challenging job, and he was clearly experiencing spiritual warfare. We found out later that while he was not a believer, he had a small circle of Christian friends who were diligently praying for him and urging him to seek the Lord in his life. And on that Sunday, he came to the altar and he literally collapsed. He was weeping. He was crying out. He was clearly fighting demonic thoughts, and he was in a great deal of both physical and emotional pain. We prayed for him, And the visiting preacher laid hands on him and anointed him. And I lead the altar ministry team in the church, and I knew that there was a great need on so many levels. So one of the deacons and myself, we took him to a quieter area in the church where we prayed over him, and we quoted scripture, verse after verse. We prayed again, and we encouraged him to call on the name of Jesus. We laid hands on him and we anointed him again. We read more scripture and we cried alongside him and we pleaded with him to accept Jesus. He was in so much distress. Pastor was at another church and I knew that it would be at least 2 hours before he returned. But thankfully the Lord gave us the words, his words to say. The verses came to my mind. I just, you know, like the from the armor of God, from Ephesians, and I kept repeating from Romans 8, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Things just came to mind, and words just came to mind to comfort this young man and to try to help him through this intensely distressing period that he was going through. And church, this was probably one of the most intense spiritual warfare attacks that I've been involved in as a missionary. I felt so ill-equipped that afternoon, even though it was confirmed afterwards that the scriptures we quoted and prayed were a great comfort and reassurance to this young man. Because even in his distress, he heard God's word through us. But when that afternoon was over and that evening, it was, you know, it was something that I have never experienced before. I was just wrung out. I was just totally, totally, totally empty. And just under such a, I don't know, it just felt like we were just really, 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 we were subdued. It was one of the most intense times that I have spent. But when Pastor returned that afternoon, he took the young man into his office. And more than an hour passed, during which he prayed with him and he counseled him. And when he came out of his office, he shared the news that the young man had accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior.
Wow. He's the Lord.
And that was, you know, immediately the atmosphere changed in that room. It was just so amazing. It really was. And he was baptized 2 weeks later, and he was able to return to work. He's been changed in so, so many ways, and not least with the ability to address the challenges within his workplace and to stand up for Jesus. He's now an active member of our church. He's eager to learn and deepen his faith. He has testified to God's goodness many times, and he freely shares his faith and his testimony. We were able to give him a second-hand Bible very quickly after he made his profession of faith, and we know that he reads it on a daily basis. It's evident that he's learning to apply God's words to the challenges that arise in his life. Those challenges are still there, but he's able to give thanks for the many blessings that God has bestowed upon him. Every minute of that difficult Sunday afternoon, locked in spiritual warfare, was worth it to see another soul saved for the kingdom and to see how he understands how the Lord's word guides him on a daily basis.
Amen. 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 Thank you. That's a wonderful testimony. In a moment, I'll give you some time to tell everybody how we can partner with you in your ministry there in Jamaica. Individually, we do as a church, but for individuals to have that opportunity. But before that, I wanted to give you a chance, just any short yay God story, you know, that you might, I mean, that was a pretty awesome testimony to share. I don't know if you have any other things that you would like to share about what God's doing, you know, in you and the ministry there, but give you a chance to do that.
I would say that, you know, that I'm giving God thanks. That's Jamaican expression. I'm giving God thanks. And I am giving God thanks for so, so many blessings. And probably, you know, just throughout 2022, where we're able to have our crusades and our conventions again, and teams are visiting on a more regular basis. We have seen successful vacation Bible schools. Where kids have accepted Christ, you know, in their dozens. You know, it's just been amazing. Prayer walks, Bible studies are almost back to normal. Fruitful discipleship, just so many things. But one thing, just on a particular note from Here's Hope, I was just so honored to know that the kids here were praying for me. And for Pastor Travis, and for Another Bay Baptist Church, and for Jamaica specifically. It was a real blessing and encouragement to understand and to realize that. So I just want to thank you all from the bottom of my heart, and I'd like to thank the kids as well, get the opportunity as well. So thank that you, was dear just, dear. That's just an honor.
Thank you so much. Well, it is a joy to know you as a sister in Christ. It brings so much praise to the Lord in my life and in Kim's life and others to know the work that you're doing, what God is doing in you and through you, and what He's doing in Jamaica. And it's just such a wonderful thing to be able to gather together through prayer and other, you know, resources, and to work together to spread the gospel and see God's kingdom grow. And would you take a few minutes and let folks know how they can partner with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is never the easy part, but it's the realistic factor of missionary life. I must raise support to remain on the field. And after a period of intentional prayer and fasting, I am about to apply for my second work permit. And hopefully this will be granted for another 3 years. At this time, I've been full-time in Jamaica with CSI for almost 4 years. And my first week-long mission trip was way back in January 2017. So I can truly say it is Jamaica, land I love. That's a line from their national anthem, Jamaica, land I love. So some of you have walked every step of the journey with me, and some of you I'm meeting today for the first time. But wherever you fit in, please, please just consider. If God lays it on your heart, consider partnering with me, both prayerfully and financially. And prayer is just fundamental. I mean, it really is. But financially is important as well. It's one of those things. You know, you can talk to me afterwards. I have some of a few prayer cards here as well. I'll leave some with James if he needs any. But if you have any questions about CSI Jamaica, about coming on a short-term mission trip, or how you as a church can help us in various ways, just come and talk to me afterwards. But if you go onto the CSI website, that's Christian Service International, if you go onto their website, you'll see if you want to do it online, you can click donate, you can choose amount, you can choose monthly or one-off, and I think you click apply to and click my name. You can also write a check made payable to CSI Ministries. And again, as I say, if you have any other questions, you can come and talk to me. Our office is here in Kokomo in the Cross America building. And I do have the address and stuff here if anyone needs that as well. I mean, I've been involved with CSI now since before 2017, but with CSI Jamaica since 2017. We've been in Jamaica for almost 50 years. We have a beautiful mission house there. I'm sure James can share more about that. If any of you are interested in signing up to come on a team, and I can give you all the information that you would need. I can put you in contact with our executive director, John Key. But again, I remind you that, you know, to be a missionary on the field, support is absolutely essential. We're not allowed to fund ourselves. We must raise support. And it is, you know, it's through God's grace and His mercy and His provision and His love that I have been able to be where He has called me to be since 2017 on and off. Amen. And permanently since 2019. Amen. So I thank you for listening. I thank you all for just for whatever part you have played in the support through the church for me, for Pastor Travis, and for CSI in Jamaica. Thank you.
And CSI is not crime scene investigation,
right? It is
right?
Not. No.
Christian Service.
Christian Service, yes. International.
Yes, if you're not familiar. So good to make that clear. Yeah, you know, it is, it's true, those logistical things, like you said, the need for support and everything, but I am convinced as believers that we need to give, we need to be freed up, we need to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and be freed up from having to have control of, you know, resources that God has given us, and to do what He wants us to do, which is to see the gospel go out and see Bibles purchased and see kids discipled and to support missionaries. So I think as much as you, in reality, I mean, you need support, I think we need to give. So I appreciate the opportunity to do that. So we'll take a few moments to pray for Deirdre, for believers all over the world on the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And the worship team, I think, has another song for us here in a minute. But we'll pray. And Deirdre, would you like to visit with the kids before you go? I think that'd be great. I think they'd be really excited to see you. So, yeah, maybe you could pop in down there and talk to them and pray with them. That would be great. But thank you so much, sister, for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Father, we thank you so much for our sister in Christ, Lord, and thank you for her example of faith, her example of obedience and trust, God. Thank you for her example of leaving everything in the life that she knew behind, God, to follow your call upon her life. And what an example, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you for her honesty today and her humility. Thank you, Lord, that all of her trust and hope is in you. And thank you for the great testimony of the role of the Word of God in her life and our brothers and sisters there in Jamaica, God. Lord, we know that for believers living in those nations that are very restricted and very hostile, it means so much to have a copy of a Bible, God, to own your Word. And so, Lord, we do on this International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Brothers and Sisters, God, we do pray for those who smuggle Bibles into those areas where it's very dangerous, God. We pray that you would give them wisdom. Lord, we pray that you would give them just innocence and discernment and just everything that they need, God, guidance from you to smuggle those Bibles through so many avenues into these areas, Lord, into these restricted nations, and to get the Word of God out to people there, God. We pray for those who even seize the Bibles, God. We pray for those who are trying to stop Bibles from being smuggled into countries, God, that they would read those Bibles, that they take, God, that you would put it upon their hearts to wonder why somebody would put their life at risk to smuggle those Bibles, and they'd read them and put their trust in Jesus, God. We pray that those who persecute the church would become part of the church, God, that they would receive your mercy today and trust in Christ. God, we thank you for the testimony that we saw of Rebecca in Nigeria, Lord. We thank you for Deirdre's testimony. We thank you for the testimony of believers all over the world that should inspire us to live for you. God, we just thank you for your Word. Help us to cherish your Word in the way that we should, to faithfully immerse our lives in the Word of God more deeply. Lord, we're so privileged, we're so blessed to have copies of your Word and to have the time to read it, and to do so here, Lord, without too much pushback. So God, help us to take your Word in and to live it out boldly in this culture, God, that Kokomo would be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, Lord. And we do, again, just thank you for our sister Deirdre. We pray, Lord, for every need to be met in Christ Jesus in a way that only you can get the glory. God, we know that you are so generous and gracious, and we expect you to do more than we could possibly ask or imagine, God. Whatever that financial need, God, we pray, just blow our minds by providing above and beyond. Whatever the need is with encouragement, Lord, lavish her with your love through your people. God, we know that you are a good father and a good shepherd, Lord. Express that to our sister in every way today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.